Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your Thursday host on Mornings for the Master, where each day you have a different host and a different course of study. And on Thursdays, we are currently studying the book of 2 Peter. We are in chapter 2, and we're going to be looking today at verses 18 through 22 as we complete our study of chapter 2. Last week, we looked at the depravity of the false teacher. And in just a few moments, we're going to be considering today the deceptions or the deceit of false teachers. I hope that you do tune in to Mornings for the Master each day. Remember, these programs air at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and then they are rebroadcast in the evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And they're also posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. So I hope that you're availing yourself to these programs, and remember that you can go to the on-demand section to pick up previous programs that you might have missed or just want to go back again for further study. Now we are going, as we noted now today, completing chapter 2. So let's go there now and to our text, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by themselves, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if we have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. We find that Peter's warning against false teachers here in chapter 2, up to this point, has included descriptions of several things. One of those is verses 1 through 3 give us a picture of the destructiveness of the false teacher. Verses 4 through 9 pointed out to us the ultimate doom of the false teacher. And then last week in verses 10 through 17, we considered the depravity of the false teachers, just how insidious and evil they are. In fact, verse 17 well summarized their depravity by describing them. Notice what Peter said in verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest. You see, the fact is that while they promise much, the reality is that they do not truly deliver what they promise. And because of that, they are deceptive. And the deceptions of false teachers become even more apparent as we consider this last section of chapter 2. The text today in verses 18 through 22 vividly depict the manner in which these false teachers are deceptive. And that begins with the fact that they are deceptive in their methods. Now notice verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So we find that they use deceptive words. Peter had warned us earlier that they're going to attempt to exploit you with deceptive words. Go back with me to verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now he says that they speak great swelling words of emptiness. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. They like to use eloquent speech, using words that sounds impressive and promising, but they lack true substance. They, in their efforts, attempt to actually appeal to the flesh. So deceiving are these false teachers that one might begin to think that they are winning him over to their way through their sound doctrines. But their true allurement is through the lust of the flesh. Now this enticing of the lust of the flesh will potentially include such things as immorality, materialism, envy, and certainly pride. But consider the writing of some of the apostles here. The apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, his words here are very relevant also. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So, we find that the false teachers, they offer promises, but they really have their appeal to what the flesh will gain rather than the spirit. Is this not the same as the case with those today who promise health and wealth with the gospel, where the primary focus is the things of this life? It is even through licentiousness that these teachers entice unstable souls. Licentiousness in the Greek is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it is spelled A-S-E-L-G-E-I-A. And the meaning of the word is unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence. The false teachers, they shamelessly flaunt their fleshly appeals while passing it off as something proper. We can certainly see this in so many of the outrageous promises of liberalism today. But recall Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 20 said, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. They will even take things as evil as abortion, wrap it in a bow, and call it a woman's sacred right to choose. And they'll say that it's a decision between her and her doctor and her God. And so many other things that they will do with this. They will display excessive wealth as something that one might expect to receive as a follower of their teaching. And through these deceptive methods, they seek to allure those who have escaped from those who live in error. Again, look at verse 18 one more time. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. And this leads us into Peter's next point. For we have now seen that they are deceptive in their methods, but they are also deceptive in the things that they promise. Notice verse 19. For while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. The false teacher will promise liberty, but the truth is they don't deliver that freedom. They don't deliver, especially if it is liberty from the lust of the flesh. Because, as we've noted, they make their allurements through the lust of the flesh. Back to verse 1, it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And again, verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Thus, they enslave through the very thing they promise deliverance from. They promise liberty while they themselves are slaves. They are slaves of corruption. They are trying to promise what they cannot offer. Now, as evidence of their corruption, we have already seen that they attempt to exploit Christians through covetousness. Verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Again, refer back to verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. According to verse 10, they despise authority. Notice some other things in the following verses. Verse 12 pointed out that they speak evil of the things they do not understand. In verse 13, we discover that they count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. Verse 14 points out to us that they have eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin. Verse 14 also points out that they have a heart that is trained in covetous practices. And so here we find these very individuals, these very teachers, that promise liberty to people, are themselves, they have been overcome. That they have been brought into bondage. Indeed, they are worse off now than before. Now consider verses 20 through 22. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. The latter end is worse than their beginning. It would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness. Notice Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For every one to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. They have become like the dog returning to his vomit, and the washed sow to wallowing again in the mire. These last three verses raise a question that will be answered below. Being deceptive in both method and promise, as the false teacher is, we can appreciate why Peter would spend so much time warning us about them. And so, before we finish the chapter, we would be well served to attempt to answer two questions that are commonly raised by Peter's discourse on false teachers. So let's consider two questions then. These false teachers, were they at one time true Christians? Now, it says, they were denying the Lord who bought them. Now go back to verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. These are souls who at one time had been bought by the Lord. Peter had written in his first letter that we are redeemed or bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thus, these are souls who at one time were blood-bought individuals. But Peter tells us that they have forsaken the right way and gone astray. Chapter 2, verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So the implication here then is that they were at one time on the right way, because it is impossible to forsake something you never had. It is impossible to go astray if you were always lost. They have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice verse 20 again. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now compare having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Chapter 1 and verse 4 says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice what was said of Christians at the beginning of this epistle. It is now used to describe these false teachers. They had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 20, again, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Remember that this knowledge includes such things as are listed in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through such saving knowledge, then, they had escaped. They are now enslaved again. And it has happened to them according to the true proverb. Verse 22. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. They, like dogs, have returned to what they had gotten rid of at one point, and are like a washed sow, returning to her wallowing in the mire. Now some try to say that these proverbs reveal that these false teachers were always dogs and hogs, never truly changed on the inside, and that explains their returning to the vomit and the mire. But in the overall context of this chapter, that seems to be a strain at the purpose of the proverb. Of course, the question about these false teachers having been true Christians at one time leads us right into our other question. Can a Christian sin to the point of being lost? If these false teachers were once true Christians, then the answer is clearly yes. For let's consider their end. Return back to verse 1 and notice that we're told that they bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 3 says, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Verse 17 says, to whom the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. If the answer to the question of can a Christian sin to the point of being lost is no, then why the warning from Peter in this letter? Why would Peter attempt to warn those who have escaped from those who live in error? If there is no real danger of becoming overcome or brought into bondage again? Again, look at verses 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. Why then the concluding warning to beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked? If indeed it was impossible for Christians to fall away. Now notice chapter 3 and verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But what about those verses that promise the security of the believer? Verses such as John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Such passages are promising assurance for the believer. For example, one who remains a believer. If we remain faithful, our salvation is secure. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. But the Bible clearly warns us that a believer can develop an evil heart of unbelief. And should that happen, the promises of assurance do not apply to that individual. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and beginning with verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So now let's kind of begin to put things together today from these verses. We can see the very real possibility of apostasy, the real possibility of losing one's salvation. And when we see this, it helps us to understand the great concern that was expressed by Peter in this letter. Peter points out his belief that Christians can fall from your own steadfastness. Peter pointed out his belief that Christians could be led away by the error of the wicked. For these reasons, Peter takes a great deal of time in describing the false teachers. Those who are losing their salvation and trying to take others with them. But if we can remember what Peter says about the things he's taught us in this chapter, about the destructiveness of false teachers, about the certain doom of false teachers, about the depraved nature of false teachers, and about the deceit or deception of false teachers. For if we see these things, then we are not likely then to be swayed by such individuals. But false teachers are not our only concern. We must be so very careful not to be deterred in our spiritual pilgrimage by scoffers along the way. And it is these individuals that Peter will address in chapter 3 that, if the Lord wills, will begin next week. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you have been exhorted and edified by our study in 2 Peter. And I hope that you will continue to join us each week. I have certainly been encouraged by your presence today. And if the Lord wills, we'll begin chapter 3 of 2 Peter next week here on Mornings for the Master next Thursday. I want to invite you to tune in through the rest of the day for the programs here on the Gospel Radio Network. And also, encourage you to tune in again tomorrow morning at this same time at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master with host Chip Horton. You won't want to miss it. So till we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope that you'll have a great day.